ಗಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಗಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ 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 ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಜಗದ್ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹರ್ಷಿ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕುರ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಪ್ರೇಮ್ ಸೆ ಕಹೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾ ಕುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧನ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಬೋ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ದಿ ವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ದಿ ವೋಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ದಿ ವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಾಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತ್ಯುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ವೆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ನಂಬರ್ 3, ದ ಸ್ಟಾಟಸ್ ಕೋ, ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ನಂಬರ್ 10, ಡಿವಿಜನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್, ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 14. ಸರ್ಗೋ ನವವಿಧಸ್ತಸ್ಯ ಪ್ರಾಕೃತೋ ವೈಕೃತಸ್ತು ಯಃ काल द्रव्य गुणैरस्य त्रिविधा प्रतिसंक्रमा सर्गो नवविधस्तस्य प्राकृतो वैकृतस्तु या काल द्रव्य गुणैरस्य त्रिविधा प्रतिसंक्रमः सर्गो नवविधस्तस्य प्राकृतो वैकृतस्तु यः कालद्रव्यगुणैरस्य त्रिविधा प्रतिसंक्रमः सर्गो नवविधस्तस्य कृतस्तु या काल द्रव्य गुणैरस्य त्रिविधा प्रतिसंक्रम कृतो वैकृतस्तु या काल द्रव्य गुणैरस्य त्रिविधा प्रतिसंक्रमः सर्गो नवविधस्तस्य प्राकृतो वैकृतस्तु यः काल द्रव्य गुणैरस्य त्रिविधा प्रतिसंक्रमः प्राकृतवैकृतस्तु यः कालद्रव्यगुणैरस्य प्रतिसंक्रमः माताजी सर्गो नवविधस्तस्य प्राकृतो वैकृतस्तु यः कालद्रव्यगुणैरस्य त्रिविधा प्रतिसंक्रमः सर्गो नवविधस्तस्य कालद्रव्यगुणैरस्य त्रिविधा प्रतिसंक्रमः सर्गः क्रिएशन नवविधा ऑफ नाइन डिफरेंट काइंड्स तस्य इट्स प्राकृतः मटेरियल वैकृतः बाय द मोड्स ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर तु बट यह दैट विच काल इटर्नल टाइम द्रव्य मैटर गुणैः क्वालिटीज अस्य इट्स त्रिविधः थ्री काइंड्स प्रतिसंक्रमः अनाइलेशन Translation and purport by Abhayacharna Arvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada ki translation there are nine different kinds of creations besides the one which naturally occurs due to the interactions of the modes there are three kinds of annihilations due to eternal time the material elements and the quality of one's work Prabhupada's purport. The scheduled creations and annihilations take place in terms of the supreme will. There are other creations due to interactions of material elements which take place by the intelligence of Brahma. Later, these will be more explicitly explained. At present, only preliminary information is given. The three kinds of annihilations are: 1. Due to the scheduled time of the annihilation of the entire universe. 2. Due to a fire which emanates from the mouth of Ananta. And 3. Due to one's qualitative actions and reactions. Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yudhapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Barijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsa Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. I'm seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and especially Savas Prabhu. Please bless me. And Amal Bhakta Maharaj is also here and all the senior devotees. This topic is very deep. Especially Sankhya philosophy is very philosophical. Like it's very deep rooted and it goes to the minutest cell, the tiniest particle of the external energy. So that's why Sankhya is very beautiful. In one sense, because just like Krishna is engaged in Rasa Leela with the gopis, and everyone loves to hear Rasa Leela. Everyone is like, oh, we want to hear Krishna's Rasa Leela. Such a nice pastime. Krishna with so many gopis, they are beautifully dancing, and Krishna is performing amazing pastime. Similar Rasa Leela that happens in the material world, instead of Krishna, there is Mahavishnu, and instead of gopis, it's the external energy. That is the creation and destruction. There is 9 different types of creations given, and 3 types of destructions or annihilations. So this is Rasa Leela of Mahavishnu. So in that sense, it's very important to understand this because we are not capable of performing Rasa Leela there, but we are definitely part of this Rasa Leela here. So we should be very carefully understanding this particular chapter. And the subsequent chapters in the third canto, which describe the Sankhya in detail. Now here, Shukdev Maharaj, he describes these 9 different creations. And in the further chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam, annihilation also has been described by Shukdev Maharaj very detailed. The 10 topics of Bhagavatam are Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam utayaha manvantara ishanukatha nirodha mukti and ashray. These are 10 topics. The Bhagavatam has been divided into 10 topics. Today we are learning this verse that begins from sarga. Sargo navavidhas tasya prakruto vaikrutastuya kala dravya gunai rasya trividha prati sankrama. There are 9 different kinds of creations. So we will understand out of these 9, first six come under sarga. Sarga means primary creation. that happens only from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Lord Brahma takes over from 6th onwards. That means 7th creation, 8th and 9th is done by Brahma. So what are these 9 creations? We'll quickly go through it. First creation is creation of Mahat Tattva, which basically means inactive sum total of entire material energy that is formless, tasteless, qualityless, odorless, all the different qualities of material world that we see, they're not present. That's why impersonal philosophers, they love this because they can only go up to that level where they understand that everything has come from, you know, formless. Supreme absolute truth is formless. Because they can only understand the philosophy up to the time of creation. They cannot go beyond. Because in the beginning, the pradhan, it's called pradhan, it's unmanifest nature. Now that is the first creation that comes from the body of Mahavishnu. That's Mahat Tattva. In the second creation, false ego is created. Because the living entity that does not want to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Vaikuntha planets has been given an opportunity to enjoy or to act like a god in the material world. But that enjoyment comes only when the living entity forgets its own position and forgets about God. Because if you are completely aware of God, then you cannot enjoy material world. So that's why the false ego is the covering on the soul that makes the soul forget about his own identity and the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the third creation, the sense perceptions are created, where the material elements are created. In the fourth, there is working capacity is created, knowledge is created in the fourth. In the fifth one, the controlling deities are created. And then in the sixth, the ignorance, darkness is created. Now the first six, as we described, they are created directly from the personality of Godhead. The first six, Lord Brahma has nothing to do with it. And after the six are done, then Brahma comes into picture. The sixth one is the darkness of ignorance that is created by Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why many a times we wonder, how come Lord Brahma also sometimes gets or falls into the mode of darkness? Sometimes Lord Brahma also acts bewildered. Because that bewilderment of ignorance, the darkness, is not created by him, it's created before him. So that's why it is seen that sometimes Lord Brahma also gets bewildered by ignorance. And the best example of this is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that one time while creating, Lord Brahma created one female, Vak. When that female came, Lord Brahma himself got bewildered. And then he was criticized by all the sages. His firstborns, great sages, they started saying, "Oh, no, Lord Brahma, you know, stop this. Don't even think of lust because she's like your daughter. You gave birth to her." And then we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam how Lord Brahma immediately left his body and he changed his body because he understood that those thoughts were not proper. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that no time in the past, no Brahma had acted like this, and the same Brahma had not acted like this in any of the kalpas. But Lord Brahma's greatness is as soon as he understood, he immediately gave up that consciousness. So that's why these six creations are Sarga. And then Visarga begins. That's the second topic of Bhagavatam that is created by Brahma. in which the seventh creation, Lord Brahma creates immovable living entities. For example, plants. There are different kinds of plants. They cannot move. They are as good as unconscious. And they have the feelings of pain from within. So that is created in the seventh creation. In the eighth creation, all the lower species of life are created. And in the ninth, human beings have been created by Lord Brahma. Now after this, we may wonder, then what are the destructions? And why are we even talking about destructions? Here, Prabhupada describes that before going to destruction, he says that there are other creations due to interactions of material elements which take place by the intelligence of Brahma. So these nine creations that have been described, they are the categorical creations. But there is a creation that is constantly going on by the interaction of mode. For example, someone may just sit down and build a watch. Now he created the watch, but he took the elements from here and there and he somehow brought together different gears and different things and he created a watch. Or two living entities, a man and woman, come together, they produce a child. So the creation is continuous in that sense. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning, that the other creations, due to the interactions of material elements, they are constantly taking place. Now when we go to the annihilation, now annihilation is the final topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. That means the last, this Parikshit Maharaj, he was cursed to die in 7 days. And then Shukadev Maharaj appears. And then Parikshit Maharaj is listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, last topic is Ashraya according to the verse. But what Parikshit heard, the last topic is Nirodha. Because Parikshit heard Nirodha last. So the 10 topics, the last topic is Ashraya, because that's the most important tattva. But before giving up the body, what Parikshit heard last was Nirodha, the annihilation. Now someone may wonder that if someone is giving up the material body, someone is going to die, why the spiritual master is describing Nirodha? The 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is where Shukadev Maharaj is describing how the entire cosmos is annihilated. Now someone may wonder why a spiritual master before death is describing annihilation. Like the best would be that Shukadev Maharaj puts Ashraya at the end. That Parikshit Maharaj hears about Krishna's wonderful, you know, Bal Leela, Krishna is little baby and running around and Mother Yashoda is chasing him and then Krishna's, you know, youthful pastimes with the gopis. And then he says, okay, thus we conclude Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Takshak comes and, you know, takes away the body, takes away the life air of Parikshit. That, you know, that sounds very practical. Because in that consciousness, Parikshit Maharaj will leave. But why Shukadev Maharaj is doing this? That he is rather describing Ashraya Tattva in the 10th canto. And then he is describing Nirodha, the annihilation in the last final time of Parikshit. So we, you know, hear that because the entire cosmos, the way it is annihilated, it is so breathtaking. It is such a wonderful, like, amazing process where we hear about destruction of the entire cosmos, destruction of even the heavenly planets, destruction of the higher planetary systems, and even the destruction of Lord Brahma. Then, naturally, for Parikshit, you know, it will be so easy for Parikshit Maharaj to just you know, think that it is so insignificant that I am also dying. Because one day everything is going to die. Everybody has to leave the body. Even Brahma, what to speak of me? My departure is such an insignificant process as compared to the entire world. So that's the one reason why Parikshit Maharaj is hearing about destruction at the end. Now, we will go through the three types of destructions. There is, first destruction is continuous destruction. Like, this has not been mentioned. The way that the creation is continuous, constantly someone is creating someone or someone is being born, the same way someone is dying at a moment. Every moment someone is dying. Every moment the material things are deteriorating. That means every moment we are going closer to death. In that sense, annihilation is a continuous process in that sense. So, Parikshit Maharaj is being made aware of this so that he has the courage to face the death. Just like I remember one incident from my childhood, I was supposed to see the dentist and I was very scared. I was like, he is like Yamraj for me. This was my first experience. And he has all these tools, you know, like different, like he has small knives, scissors, and he has all the tools like a drill machine and stuff. I'm like, scared, man, who is this guy? And I was so really scared. But that time my mother, you know, I remember this, she told me that, don't worry, everybody in their lifetime has to see this guy. So don't worry about it, you're not the only one. And I'll tell you, your elder brother, when he was playing cricket, it's like a baseball, and he swung the bat, he had fallen right on his front teeth. And that time he broke his two front teeth. And that time, he had to see the dentist. And you have no idea, the dentist had to take out the two teeth that were already broken. And then he put so much of, you know, cement and so many things. And then he put a driller. He drilled it. And then he put the two fake teeth for your elder brother. And then I was like, oh no, really? He went through that? And then my mother said, yes, he went through that. You are not going through anything. It's nothing for you. It's just little tiny, he's going to clean little bit. It's nothing for you. And then I was like, okay, if my brother has gone through it, I will also go through it. So Shukdev Maharaj is describing Parikshit Maharaj the same way. That don't worry, this Indra has gone through death. This Chandra, Varuna, Surya, they all are annihilated at a point of time. Even Lord Brahma is annihilated at a time. So why are you worried, my dear Parikshit? So that was his intention. Now, the three kinds of annihilations. First one, due to the scheduled time of the annihilation of the entire universe. That is called Naimittik annihilation. Naimittik. Naimittik means when Lord Brahma finishes his day and he is ready to sleep, he shuts down everything. And that is called Naimittik annihilation. In which Lord Narayan sleeps on the Ananta Shesha, you know, it's night time. And then all the planets are immersed in the waters. Or sometimes they are even absorbed by the personality of Narayan. That's the first kind of annihilation that happens at the end of the day of Brahma. Second one is due to a fire which emanates from the mouth of Ananta. And that is Prakritik annihilation. Now this Prakritik annihilation happens when Lord Brahma has lived for 100 years. The 100 years of his life has finished and now it is the time for annihilation of everything. At that time, first, there will be no rains for 100 years. No rain, not a drop of water will fall from the sky. And the humanity will be literally on their knees. People will consume each other because there is no vegetation, no rains, and there is nothing to eat. So populace will eat and consume each other and survive. And then after 100 years of drought that later becomes famine, there will be scorching sun. That sun will be sun of annihilation. That scorching sun will absorb the whatever water content left on the face of earth. All the oceans will be drunk up. All the water content from all the living bodies will be drunk by that annihilating sun. For 100 years, this will go on. And then third step in that Prakritic annihilation is the fire will emanate from the mouth of Sankarshan. The fire will come from the hoods of Sankarshan. And it will burn up all the universes. And it will look like, you know, these universes are being burnt from above by the annihilating strong sun, and they are being burnt from bottom by the fire that is being emanated from the mouths of Sankarshan. So from two sides there is so much of fire coming. All the universes, like all the planets in the universe. So all the planets within the universe are being burnt, and they will look like the balls of cow dung that is put in the fire. So that will go on for 100 years. And after that, there will be a lot of clouds that will come. And Jiv Goswami Pad, he describes in this context that if you think the Samvartak clouds that came, you know, to Govardhan, you know, for when Indra sent the Samvartak clouds to flood Vrindavan, if you consider that to be a rock, then those clouds of annihilation, they are like mountains. And then they will, you know, pour down heavily. There will be heavy rains for next 100 years. And the rain will be so high, so much, that the entire universal sphere will be filled with waters. And the water element will consume the earth element. Because if you know how the creation takes place, you know, Mahatattva gives rise to false ego, then the material modes are created, then from there material elements are created. Especially sky gives rise to air, then fire, and fire gives rise to water, and then earth, and then all the things we see. So similarly, while winding up, everything is wound up in the, you know, reverse direction. For example, when all the universe has been filled with water, all the planets will be dissolved in that water. Just like if you put some sugar cubes in water and if you just, you know, stir, then all the sugar is dissolved in the water. Just like that, entire earth, the element of earth will be consumed by the element of water. And then there will be fire that will consume the water. And then, you know, like that, the air will consume fire and it will be wound up again in that same fashion. So that's pretty scary for someone who has no idea of annihilation. So here we see these annihilations are happening ultimately so that it goes up to Mahatattva, and again the Mahatattva is dissolved into Pradhan. This Pradhan is unmanifested, inactive, formless, tasteless nature. Again, back to the first state. You know, like some Mayavadi philosophers, impersonalists, they say, oh, we came from nothing. In the beginning, there was nothing. And we have to be nothing. So that nothingness philosophy comes from those who only have limited understanding of this creation, only up to the point of Pradhan. So Shukdev Maharaj is describing Parikshit Maharaj this all in detail. so that he understands how the creation and how the annihilation takes place. Now the last one is the third annihilation, and here Srila Prabhupada mentions it as due to one's qualitative actions and reactions. Now it is personal. The annihilation, now this is coming to one's qualitative actions and reactions. Now this is atyantik annihilation. Now this is very important, because what has happened with us is the very identity of the living entity has been changed by covering the living entity with the false ego. It's like if someone puts a lens, a dark red color lens in your eyes, and you don't know. You know, you're sleeping and then they give you anesthesia and they put a lens in your eyes. And that shows you everything red. When you wake up, you see everything red. You know, if somebody asks you, who gave class today? You will say, one red guy. He gave class. I'm like, you will see everything red. How cats look? Red. How dogs look? Red. Because the very, you know, the way you perceive and see things has been changed. The same way false ego is that covering around the living entity that changes the very perception of the living entity of the world around. What to speak of the world around? The perception of living entity about itself is changed. That means the living entity who naturally is supposed to run to Krishna, just like a river naturally runs to the ocean, instead of that, the living entity is becoming very selfish, thinking of one's own senses, sense gratification. So the covering of false ego is the cause of all the material problems. And unless and until that covering of false ego has been shattered, the living entity cannot see the absolute reality. And the living entity cannot understand who he is and who is God and what is the relationship between himself and God. So that is the most important topic of this third annihilation. It's called atyantik. Now Shukdev Maharaj gives this example that a cloud is a product of sun. But the same cloud obstructs one's vision to the sun. That means the eye is also supposed to be partial expansion of the fire element. The sense of eye comes from the fire element. So the sun gives rise to the cloud, and then it obstructs the vision of the eye, and the eye cannot see the sun. The same way the absolute truth creates false ego, which obstructs the vision of the individual soul to see the absolute truth. So false ego is like the cloud, and behind which supreme absolute truth, Krishna, hides. And the living entity cannot see God because of that cloud of false ego. Now Shukdev Maharaj in the 12th canto, he says, unless and until that cloud has been destroyed, there is no possibility for individuals to see the sun. There is no way that we can see the sun until the clouds are there. The clouds are of false ego are existent. So that's why Shukdev Maharaj gives the final instruction to Parikshit. He says that sansara sindhumati dustanamutti tirsho nanyaplavo bhagavadha purushottamasya lila katharas nishevanamantarena punso bhavet vivida dukhad varditasya. All the suffering humanity, they are being burnt into the fire of material existence. At the same time, they are in the ocean of material existence, and there is no way to cross that ocean. The only possibility is that there is a boat. The boat in the form of the taste for the different beautiful leela and pastimes of Krishna. If someone hears the pastimes of Krishna through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam, Then only there is possibility to understand. Unless and until we board that boat of Krishna's nectarian pastimes and hear and drink this nectar of Krishna's pastimes, there is no way to cross this insurmountable ocean of material miseries. In this way, Parikshit Maharaj is being instructed by Shukdev Goswami. Now that cloud of false ego can be destroyed by the sun himself. So the same way, when a living entity taking shelter of the spiritual master and understanding the process to serve the Supreme Absolute Truth, by serving the lotus feet of the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity can destroy the covering of false ego. That service attitude is like a sword. So Shukdev Maharaj says that when the living entity cuts off the covering of false ego by using the sword of discriminative knowledge, then the false ego will be destroyed completely. It's like the destruction of the cloud. And then there is clear vision for us to see Krishna face to face. Then we can clearly see Krishna face to face. So that's the basic idea of all these annihilations. So due to lack of time, we will take a quick stop. And if you have any questions, you can please go ahead.
Just at the end here, you were saying we have to become absorbed in the pastimes. That's the, you know, the only remedy. What is it? Is becoming absorbed in the pastimes of a pure devotee? Like, say somebody were to become absorbed in the pastimes of Prabhupada, is that as good as becoming absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna?
Because the pure representative of Krishna, they are only working on behalf of Krishna. And in that sense, they are in Krishna's pastime already. So when Prabhupada is speaking and giving the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's like Krishna's pastimes, or we can say Mahaprabhu, his extended Chaitanya Leela, like we always say, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela is still going on through Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada came from India to New York to distribute that knowledge. So it's pretty much same. And actually Srila Prabhupada was asked this question, that Srila Prabhupada, is it okay if we remember you at the time of death? And Srila Prabhupada said that is fine. He agreed to that. Because Srila Prabhupada's remembrance automatically brings us to remembrance of Krishna. So, you know, in that sense, Guru and Krishna both are supposed to be on the same level for the disciple. So I think it should be the same thing. Acharya Narottam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Prabhu, I have actually problems in understanding the definition of Pradhana and Mahatattva, because sometimes when I read, looks like the same definition applies to both of them. Can you please explain which one difference?
Pradhan is, it can be seen as void. I mean, ether also has existence. Some people say ether or sky is void. But if you go further and deeper into the ether has existence. So if you go more in subtle way, if you go more deeper in more subtle fashion, then you see beyond ether, there is the modes of the nature. And then beyond the modes, there is false ego. And even the false ego is created and coming from Mahat Tattva. So Mahat Tattva is, the definition from 12th canto is that it is the sum total of material energy. It's like a big chunk of iron. If someone gives you a big chunk of iron, then you can extract so many chairs, so many tables. Somebody will make a watch. Somebody may make a, you know, weapon out of that chunk of man. It's like sum total, but it does have material existence. It does have material quality. If you go even deeper, Mahat, the origin of Mahat is in the Pradhan state, where it's void, it's only energy. So that's the deepest you can go. It's only external energy of Krishna. So external energy of Krishna gives rise to Mahat. And then from Mahat come the other elements. So that is called Pradhan. Pradhan is basically what somebody may call Nirvana. It's a void.
So how does what you're saying relate to what we see in the picture there on the cover of the first canto? You know, where Karanadakshai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, is lying on the causal ocean, and as he exhales, the universes come out in a little seed and they expand. And then when I think my understanding has always been that when he inhales, they contract and they come back into him. So what's going actually back into him? Is it the same seed that's going out? Or how does that relate to this Pradhan, and Brahman, and Mahatattva?
Yeah, so the universes that come out of the pores of the body of Mahavishnu, before they even come out, that status is called Pradhan. Before they have even come out. So they are inside and they come out from the body of Mahavishnu. When they are inside, they are in the form of external energy of Krishna. That's called Mahamaya. So that Mahamaya, in her crude form, that's the Pradhan. In the 12th canto, we are going to read about it. And then from Pradhan, Mahatattva is created, and from Mahatattva, all the universes come out. So in the Yoga Nidra of Mahavishnu, when he inhales everything, everything is Pradhan. That time everything is Pradhan. He has already, there is nothing existent. And that's why some people say we come from nothing, because in the beginning there was nothing. Because they don't have vision to see the personality of Godhead that existed before Pradhan. Because Mahavishnu is eternal. He is always there. So, that's that before the creation begins, the status is called Pradhan. And then, the beginning is called Mahatattva. And from Mahatattva, the different universal spheres, they come out. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai nitai gaur prema nande hari 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 bo.